Number 06-5231, Multi AG Media LLC, Appellant versus Department of Agriculture. Mr. Miller for the appellant, Mr. Birch for the appellee.
Please support. I'm James Miller. I'm the lawyer for Multi Ag Media, the appellant here. With the court's permission, I'd like to reserve 3 minutes of my time for rebuttal.
We're not very respectful of reservations, so you may need to watch your own clock on that, counsel.
Thank you, Jensen.
It varies from circuit to circuit, and I know some circuits would save that for you, but we don't here. Give me, go ahead, counsel.
This case involves two different categories of data that have been withheld by the Department of Agriculture. The first are certain fields of data from the compliance file, and the second involves certain fields from the Geographic Information System, or usually called the GIS. And I'll take those in turn separately, and I'll begin with the compliance file. The compliance file is a large database maintained by the Department of Agriculture for purposes of its subsidy and benefit programs, which cost the nation somewhere between $20 and $30 billion a year, depending on the fiscal year. The government said in its brief at page 7 that the only data collected by the Department of Agriculture was data necessary for acceptance into the department's subsidy and benefit programs. So based on the department's own statement, the compliance file contains data that is, quote, necessary for acceptance into the department's subsidy and benefits programs. Now, the district court found that the fields of data that have been withheld from the compliance file implicate a privacy interest. And with all due respect, I would submit that the district court erred in making
If we agreed with the district court that there was a substantial privacy interest in both sets of data, would you speak to the public interest issue? I mean, that's not the end of the inquiry, obviously. We could still fine for you. But what's the public interest here in disclosing this information?
Judge Griffith, the public interest here is that the compliance file determines eligibility for the subsidy and benefits programs. Without the data that has been withheld from the compliance file, there is no way for the public to know whether the Department of Agriculture is properly carrying out statutory duties in disbursing money under these programs. The district court, at one point, characterized the compliance file as not including payment data. And in that respect, the district court was correct. But that's also irrelevant, because the compliance file is what determines whether a particular farm is eligible to participate in these subsidy and benefits programs. And if the Department of Agriculture is now permitted to depart from its traditional practice of releasing these data to the public, then the public is going to be completely in the dark as to why one farm gets one amount of money and another farm gets another amount of money. And the interesting point is that the district court, in ruling for us with respect to the two livestock files, understood that exactly. The district court said that the public interest in the release of the data from those files was exactly that it would permit the public to understand whether the department was properly carrying out its statutory duties. it's not at all clear, at least not to me, why the district court didn't reach exactly the same conclusion with respect to the compliance.
Not that it matters, but that's not what your client would do with this information, would it? Your client would likely sell it to others. Is that your interest? I know that doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, but.
Well, Your Honor, that's actually not correct. Now, we'd have to go beyond the record. What the record says about my client is that my client is the leading vendor of detailed data on the farming landscape to the agricultural community. But that's what the record says. But the fact of the matter is that Multi-Ag Media takes this data as a starting point and adds an enormous amount of analysis before the data can be used.
Then it sells it to others.
But it isn't wrong. Yeah.
Maybe it's not completely right. I mean, one of the things that we're to look at in weighing privacy interest versus public interest is whether whether solicitation is going to result as a result of this, right?
And Jeff Griffith, that's an excellent point.
Thank you.
Because the Department of Agriculture released these data for, according to the record, at least a decade. And yet the record does not contain a scintilla evidence that any farmer or anyone else ever complained about the release of these data. The record does not contain a scintilla of evidence that there was ever any unwanted commercial solicitation.
I'm not suggesting that that's irrelevant, but that's a long way from controlling, isn't it? This is not an APA case where we're looking for arbitrariness or capriciousness in a change of position. I mean, our test here is the same as it would be if they had never released it or had always released it. We're looking at a finite decision in time, aren't we? I understand it may be relevant to the privacy interest involved or the public interest involved, but it's not an APA type review. Am I not correct in that?
Well, Your Honor, assuming you are correct about that.
Don't assume it. Tell me if I'm correct or not.
Well, Your Honor, I don't think you are, with all due respect, and I'll tell you why.
Okay, tell me why, because I couldn't find anything in your brief that you brought up the subject where they've leased it in the past, but you didn't tell me why that was a serious, important factor.
I think we said in our brief, I think we admitted in our brief that to the best of my knowledge, there's no case law on this point. But here's why the APA standard has to apply here. It's because if this were a reverse FOIA action, obviously the APA standard would govern. Well, it can't be the law that the APA standard governs in a reverse FOIA case, but not in a FOIA case seeking release of data.
I could not find any case anywhere where in any FOIA question we had applied APA standards of review. I'm just not sure why the agency can't, if it realizes one day, hey, we shouldn't have been passing out this evidence, it violates a privacy interest, shouldn't have passed out this information, why they can't change their position with the kind of expression you'd need for APA review. I thought that was exactly what you said existed here, that they had been giving it out, and now they've quit giving it out.
Your Honor, that's correct.
Yeah.
But they've never said that they now find a privacy interest in them previously.
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. They don't have to do that if we're not applying an APA review. They can go forward upon their decision that it is entitled to the Exemption 6 protection.
Your Honor,
I forget what number goes with which one. I have to look back for that.
But we don't need to win on that point. We don't need to have the court apply the APA standard. I think Judge Griffith still raises a very important point.
He thought so, too.
which is simply that we have here the unusual case where the data were released, but the department has not shown that there were any complaints about unwanted commercial solicitation. Are any complaints from farmers who felt their privacy was being invaded by this action? So since the department didn't come up with that evidence, I think we have to assume that there is no such evidence. And that the concerns that this court has expressed in other cases about unwanted commercial solicitation really can't have an effect here, because there's nothing, there should be something in the record if that were true, and there isn't. Let me say that the basic point here with respect to the public interest is that the fields that have been withheld from the compliance file directly affect the department's administration of the subsidy and benefits program. And I think the district court's finding that the payment information is in the specific program files and not in the compliance file, that's simply irrelevant.
Does that work for the GIS database as well, that argument?
Judge Griffith, I think that's absolutely correct. The GIS database is nothing but the compliance file attached to programs. And what the compliance file, what the GIS does, is it makes it easier for the Department of Agriculture to determine whether acreage that's claimed by a farmer actually is planted. And in fact, Mr. Montandon, in his first affidavit, which is in the Joint Appendix, points to news reports where the Department of Agriculture was touting its use of the GIS to detect fraud in its subsidy programs. But we're not entitled to get that information. Keep in mind what they withheld.
I can understand the public interest argument that you're making, and indeed it's maybe a powerful one, but I'm not quite as good at understanding the argument you seem to be making that there's not a privacy interest here on the other side.
Judge, this court says that the privacy interest under Exemption 6 has to be substantial.
Mm-hmm.
It said that both in NARPE and in National Home Builders. The Department of Agriculture's argument, which was accepted by the district court, is that crop and acreage information can reveal something about farmers' financial situation.
Yeah, it would seem to reveal a great deal about a farmer's financial circumstance.
Judge Sintel, I would suggest the court read Joint Appendix page 2.
Oh, I understand that there's a lot in the Joint Appendix, and you don't need to come here to suggest we look at the Joint Appendices if they're important, but I understand that there are other things that this information does not reveal. But that doesn't mean that it isn't revealing financial information about family farms and small corporations.
Your Honor, with all due respect, I disagree for this reason. The Department's own position is, stated their own declaration, is that the data could relate to the owner of the farm, it could relate to the operator of the farm, who doesn't have any interest in the farm itself, or it could relate to a sharecropper who only has a share of the interest in the...
You seem to be arguing, and I have trouble getting around this, you seem to be arguing that because the information is not definitive and not total, it therefore isn't revealing anything of a substantial privacy nature. It's sort of like if you're looking at FHA instead of the farm, and you said, well, when we know a person's income and know his net worth, we don't know everything about his financial affairs. He may have a high outgo or special financial needs that are not shown in there. Therefore, it doesn't invade his privacy to get his income and his net worth.
Judge Sintel, the language of Exemption 6 is would constitute an invasion of privacy.
Yeah.
The evidence that the department came up with, the best that could be characterized is that, and this is in their declaration, 212 of the Joint Appendix, here's what they said. Could tend to reveal. Exemption 6 is would, their evidence, their best evidence, which we controversial, is could tend. And I would submit to the court, that evidence doesn't reach the statutory standard. And happy to answer further questions.
If not, then save the balance for rebuttal.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, counsel. Counsel.
Hey, please, court. Good morning. Alan George on behalf of the Department of Agriculture. If I could address the privacy interest first. The case law is clear that in talking about a substantial interest, that means more than de minimis. And anything more than de minimis, the case law requires the court to move on to the balancing. That's clearly the case here. The district court was
Go ahead.
The district court characterized the privacy interest as modest. I suggest that's a little understated.
Let's look at the record, okay? The district court granted summary judgment to the government on this. So for that to happen, there can't be any contested material facts, right?
Okay.
Right. All right. So the plaintiffs have two affidavits. One of them is at Joint Appendix 156, and I'm looking at paragraph 19. And they say here that the acreage and other information they're requesting won't shed light on the financial interest of any particular farmer. And they say the reason for that is that there's this complex ownership structure, make it impossible to trace it back to any single farmer. They say many farms have multiple owners and multiple operators. Often the owners will not operate, and the operator will have no ownership.
That's right.
Okay. Now, there's no response to that in the government's affidavit. The government simply has a general statement that this will reveal personal information, personal financial information. There's no facts in your affidavits at all about that. It's just a general assertion.
The factual statement asserted by
their fact is that the information they're seeking will not reveal personal financial information. That's their fact. And if they're right about that,
with due respect, Your Honor, their argument and claim in the declaration is that it would not reveal the financial condition of a particular owner. And the financial condition is a very narrow way of looking at the privacy interest. We don't need to have the net worth or revenue of a particular owner revealed in order to have a legitimate substantial privacy interest. We need simply details about the assets of a particular farmer, for example, how much crops are growing, when, how many they fail.
But they say you can't trace that. Their affidavit says, as I understand it, that because the ownership situation is so complex, you can't trace, you can't use the acreage information or the size of the rows or what crops are planted or the other information to trace it to any particular owner. It's just too complex. That's what this affidavit says.
But that doesn't mean that the privacy interests don't exist, right?
Well, no, the question is whether the government has proven that on this record sufficient to be entitled to summary judgment. That's my question. And I'm looking here at an affidavit which asserts, based on facts, that there's no way to use this information to trace it to a particular owner. And then the second affidavit says that there's so many economic and natural variables here that even if you could trace it, it wouldn't tell you anything about the financial condition of anyone. And again, there's no response to that either.
My response is the same, Your Honor. It's not necessary to paint a precise financial condition picture of any particular owner in order to generate
am I saying this wrong about their affidavit? Do you agree with me that their affidavit states under oath that it's too complex to trace the information to a particular farmer? Isn't that what this affidavit says?
Yeah, I believe that's what the affidavit says.
Okay.
And I believe in most cases that's probably correct.
Well, then I don't understand how the district court decision can be sustained.
Because the privacy interest still exists, Your Honor.
But if it isn't revealed, if it isn't revealed by the release of this data.
I'm sorry, excuse me, Your Honor?
Let's assume you're right that there's a privacy interest. How can that privacy interest be interfered with if the information can't be used to trace the information to a particular person?
Your Honor, every line of data is traceable to the address and name of the farm, and that is where.
But this affidavit says that the ownership situation for those farms is so complex.
It's not necessary necessary to trace it back in every single case in order to generate the privacy interest.
But you're, that's what you're telling me now. But you don't have an affidavit that responds to this and explains why this is factually wrong. And even if you did, it seems to me, you would then have a trial about that. You wouldn't get summary judgment.
Your Honor, if I may, the affidavit shows that the database is massive with over 19 million entries.
Right.
And that in many cases, it is correct, the ownership interest is complex. It is not necessary for the agency to have to trace back in any particular case, or certainly in every case.
You're saying some ownerships would not be that complex. Is that what you are saying, or am I... I'm trying to understand what you're saying. Are you saying that the complexity of ownership exists only with respect to some farms, not as to all?
Yes, Your Honor. The part of the affidavit explains in terms of trying to sort out which ones are closely held and not.
Though I would say it would be kind of nice to see a four-year trial once. I don't think there's ever been a trial under this statute in my memory.
Maybe we don't want to encourage that. But my question still stands. I mean, I'm asking this question in the context of our case law here, which says that the burden is on the agency to prove the applicability of the exemption, right?
As a general matter,
yes. Well, what do you mean as a general matter? I mean, that's what our case law says. The agency has the burden.
If I may,
isn't that right?
Generally, yes.
Okay.
If I may, there is a presumption.
And isn't there also...
the propriety of their actions on the public interest side of the...
No, I haven't gotten to the public. I haven't gotten to the public interest side yet. We don't get there if the privacy interest is de minimis, correct?
It only needs to be more than de minimis, Your Honor.
But we don't get there if it's de minimis.
That would only be the case, Your Honor, if they were right about every single line they had in the 19,000.
You mean your point is okay? There's one. There may be in these 19,000 one farmer you could trace this to.
I would assume.
Well, wouldn't I mean, if that were the case, wouldn't you have submitted an affidavit saying, look, they're right that it's complex. Can I just finish my question? Yeah. You would have an affidavit which says, look, yeah, they're right. In fact, your own affidavit concedes it's complex. Counsel for Multimedia quoted that to you. So your contrary affidavit would say, yeah, they're right, it's complex. But look, in a sizable number of these cases, you can, in fact, use this information to trace back to individuals. Then we would have something, a factual question, that a judge could look at to determine whether it's sufficient to grant summary judgment. But in terms of the pleadings that are before us, you don't even get to that point. You've got essentially an uncontested statement, sworn statement, that this can't be trusted.
Your Honor, if I may, it should not be necessary for the government to pick out particular examples.
Does the government have the burden of proof here? The government has the burden, doesn't it?
Overall, yes, it does.
Okay. And
if I may answer the question.
And there is, as we've said in our case law, a, quote, strong presumption in favor of disclosure, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Exemptions are to be narrowly construed, right? I'm just looking at this list here. And it says under Exemption 6, we've said, under Exemption 6, the presumption in favor of disclosure is as strong as can be found anywhere. All right, so I look at those rules. Those are D.C. Circuit principles. And then I look at the record. This is summary judgment. I take out the affidavits and look at them. On one side, I have a general statement from the party who has the burden, that's you, that this information is traceable to individuals. On the other side, I have two specific affidavits from a plaintiff saying in a sworn statement with an explanation that they're not. Now, under those circumstances, how can you justify summary judgment? That's my only question.
If I may, Your Honor, because the fact that they're positive is too narrow, it simply assumes that it can be traced in any single case, and it puts a burden on the government to go through the 19 million and identify every single case.
Couldn't the government have traced and found some examples?
Now,
I have no doubt that the examples are out there, but couldn't the government have traced and found some to put in the record? You used the phrase "find every single one." It wouldn't have been necessary to find every single one, would it? Couldn't you just have found?
No, Your Honor. But whenever you go down that road, you run into the the problem of creating all sorts of ancillary issues in terms of, is this one representative or not? How come this one hasn't complained in the past? All kinds of issues that are completely irrelevant to the privacy concerns.
And that's a reason for not coming forward with further evidence where you have the burden of proof?
Your Honor, the evidence in the record is sufficient to show the de minimis privacy interest.
More than de minimis.
More than, sorry, okay. Excuse me. Yes, the substantial interest, meaning more than de minimis. Indeed, at the level of detail about...
Mightn't you have had an easier time arguing that proposition had you had some sampling in the record? Might you not have had an easier time defending the proposition that the record supported a substantial privacy interest if your agency had done some sampling to present evidence on the question that Judge Tatel is pursuing?
Conceivably, Your Honor.
Okay.
But it shouldn't be necessary in order to do that. I mean, the cost involved in the affidavits explained that merely sorting out which ones are closely held from which ones are individually are corporate held, that exercise alone would run over $1 million. I mean, the exercise is simply an unreasonable one to demand in this context. The privacy interests of the kinds of information are readily apparent. Indeed, these go to very core concerns strategic decisions that farmers make about which crops to plant, which fields, what size, whether to irrigate, how successful they've been. All of this sheds all kinds of light on what sorts of financial conditions they're in, but also what sorts of projections they have, what sorts of needs they might have for particular equipment or services down the road that would make them more vulnerable to sophisticated markers like multi-ag media. It should be readily apparent from this record that the privacy interests are quite strong. The district court, in characterizing them as modest, I believe, is understated. The only analogy I could think of, which is one that is woefully understated, would be that where an individual person would have to reveal all of the assets that they have in their house over $500 in the state of repair. If you were to reveal this would lead you to have an interest in keeping this information away from our that's the situation here. So it's not just their VCR and their cars, it's their lifeblood. It's what they do for a living. And to require them to have this information out to us.
And what in the record do you cite for the proposition that the information is, in fact, you said in response to Judge Sintel's question that the record shows that the privacy interest is more than de minimis. So what in the record do you point to for the antecedent question, which is that the information is actually traceable to individuals?
Because it's the address and...
No, I asked you what in the record that's traceable to individual firms. The people...
The agency declaration explains that the data we use is... The data withheld is in a format that... Traced back to
to a particular farm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, but what about the next step? That is, from the farm to a particular person. Since you concede that.
But many of the farms are owned by individuals.
But many of them, right? Many of them aren't, and many of them have multiple owners and operators, right? Okay, all right. We're going in circles.
Could I ask you to address the public interest issue? Multi-Ag claims that there's a significant public interest. Issue here that would trump even if we were to find a substantial privacy interest.
Certainly, Your Honor. The public interest that Multi-Ag claims is insufficient to be deemed a public interest under this area of the law. They need to show more than any generalized public interest in fair and efficient government, and from their Carter decision of this court. They need to show something more specific than that, and they show no particular government agency or policy decision.
Well, isn't there a great public interest in subsidies and whether they are administered fairly?
Specifically rejected in the Reporters Committee and other cases. The flip side is cases like...
The reporters committee just went to the balancing. It didn't say there was not a public interest.
They did say there was no public interest in the rap sheets involved in, that case. The flip side is the home builders case, where there is a particular government decision involved. It's the government's interior department decision that designates certain land as protected for the owls. And in making that decision, they said, we rely on information about where the owls go. FOIA request was, hey, we want that information on where the elves go, so that we can take a look at that government decision. That's the sort of public interest that's weighing on the scale. Keep in mind, there's a presumption of legitimacy of government actions. That's
there's the also a presumption of revealability under the FOIA.
Right, but the presumption on the effectively makes it requester's burden to show something to get beyond the presumption of government on this part of the balancing
test. Did that get your question? Okay, thank you, Counselor. Your time is, how much time did he have left?
No time remaining. I'm sorry, 1 minute remaining.
Okay, we'll round that up to 2 minutes on rebuttal, Counselor. You got 2 minutes for rebuttal.
And I'd like you to respond to Mr. Birch's point about public interest. He said
we'll give you 3 minutes on rebuttal.
Generalized concern, you need to be more specific than a generalized concern about subsidies.
I simply don't think the case law supports my brother's concern that there be a specific public interest. The case law says there is a public interest in knowing how the government is carrying out its statutory duties and in knowing what the government is more locally up to. The case law does not support a claim that I have to show some specific instance where a subsidy has been calculated incorrectly, or may have been calculated incorrectly. The case law simply doesn't support that claim. There is a sufficient public interest in withheld data because they determine the eligibility of farmers for the subsidies and benefits administered by the Department of Agriculture. And I note that my brother didn't deny that. So my point would be that if this court accepted that argument, that would be a substantial restriction in the scope of Exemption 6 that current case law doesn't support. And I have another point on the privacy issue. I think it's important to note that the government concedes that the compliance file, the data that's been withheld, does not reflect whether a person is an operator, or an owner, or a sharecropper, or has some other interest. So there is not, it's not a case where there are particular instances where you could sample the data and find an instance where it does reveal information about a person's financial assets. And the government concedes this. It's in their declaration at 212 in the joint appendix. This is not contested, and there's one more important point about that. Judge Taylor referred to the affidavit from Professor Manji at North Dakota State University, who's an agricultural economist, and he makes the important point that the variables you would need to know are not generally available. So this isn't a case where we've been linked.
Okay, we're past your 3 minutes now, I think, so unless my colleagues have further questions, we'll call it quits on this one. Thank you, counsel. And